Welcome to the deep dive. So, the source material you gave us today is, wow, it's truly ambitious. We've got excerpts from Deconstructing Physical Dogmas and another piece, Jure 01.
They really are. And the mission you've set is pretty spectacular.
Right, we're not just here to re-explain how the universe works. We're trying to tackle that much more, I guess, uncomfortable question of why it works at all.
That is precisely the fault line these sources point to in modern science.
Yeah.
They argue that physics, has become incredibly good at describing the how.
The math, the models, the predictions.
Exactly. But that success has, in a way, come at the cost of understanding the foundational why. It's like knowing the instruction manual inside and out, but having no idea who the inventor was or what they were thinking.
And to bridge that gap, we're going to need a special tool. The sources call it a high-performance intellectual tool, which is Katakomuna logic.
And we're going to use it to challenge four core dogmas, four bits of common sense that physicists just tend to accept because, well, the math works.
Okay, so before we dive in, let's set the stage. The starting premise here is almost philosophical, isn't it?
It is. I mean, think about it. Without energy, the universe is just this cold, dark, static void. Nothing happens.
Yet somehow, these immense forces were unleashed, nuclear fusion happened, and all that energy created the conditions for life, the habitable zone.
Right. We know the process, we know the how, but some authors are really insistent that modern science is happy to stay inside the fences of common sense and just avoid the most basic question.
Which is,
Why does such immense force exist there in the first place? Why isn't everything just nothing?
and the argument is that once you build your entire system on physical evidence, you can't ask questions that lie outside that system.
You're trapped by your own rules. To ask why force exists, you need a whole new set of definitions.
Okay, let's establish those definitions right now because they're the foundation for everything that follows. The sources lay out two core realms.
Absolutely. So first there is Kiemen. You can think of this as the latent world.
Latent as in potential, hidden.
Exactly. It's the source of infinite energy, infinite potential. And crucially, this is the key. In this realm, time and distance don't exist. It's pure potentiality.
And on the other side of that coin is, well, our world.
That is AMA, the phenomenal world. That's our reality, the spatial, observable universe where everything is finite and bound by time and space.
So you have Camus, the infinite source, and AMA, our finite reality. There has to be something connecting them, right? Some kind of engine driving the flow.
There is, and it's the most critical concept.
Yeah.
Kant is described as the most essential particulate element.
But not like a proton or an electron.
No, something deeper. It is the constant, unstoppable pressure that surges from the latent world, from KMU, into our world, AMA.
And the sources are very clear on this. Kant is undetectable in our physical world. It's the fundamental pressure that keeps the universe from just going quiet.
So we have the source, KMU, the result, AMA, and the pressure connecting them, Kant. That's our framework.
All right, let's use it to tackle the first dogma, the nature of energy itself.
And of course, the most famous equation in all of physics, EMC 2 under 2.
Right. Physics accepts that mass and energy are two sides of the same coin, and that a tiny bit of mass holds a frankly terrifying amount of energy.
We can calculate it perfectly. But here's the logical hole the sources point to.
Yeah.
Physicists can't really tell you why. Why is all that energy packed inside mass? Why doesn't it just fly apart?
It's just treated as a given, an intrinsic property.
It is. The authors have this great name for it, the mass can problem.
Yeah.
We know what the contents are worth, but we don't know what the can is made of or how the lid stays on.
So how does Katakomuna logic explain the can?
Okay, so in this logic, matter, or what they call Mari, elementary particles, isn't a lump of stuff. It's defined as a fixation point of information.
A fixation point.
Yes, a point created at the very moment that energy flows from the infinite potential of Camus into the fixed reality of AMA.
Okay, that's interesting. So matter is where information from that latent world becomes real. But how does that contain the energy?
The answer is Ka. We said Ka is this constant latent pressure. Mass in this view is just the state where that Ka pressure is focused and dammed up.
Dammed up. Okay, I like that analogy, but a dam needs to be made of something. What's the dam?
That is the KUI. The sources call it the pin of the phenomenal world. It's a conceptual mechanism in our reality in AMA that creates a boundary.
So it pins the pressure in place.
It pins the pressure, creating a high-density spot of that Ka energy surging out of Camus. It's the structure that forces the infinite to become finite and contained.
You know, a skeptic would immediately ask if Ka is undetectable and KUI is a pin. Are we talking about real physics or just a metaphor?
And that's a fair challenge. The source is presented as a logical necessity. It has to exist for containment to happen, even if we can't observe it directly yet. It resolves the paradox.
How so?
The energy isn't stored in the mass. The mass is the point where infinite external energy, Ka, is constantly being held back by the structure of our world at KUI.
And the proof of this is nuclear fusion.
Exactly. When those KUI pins get reconfigured, the dam breaks. Nuclear fusion is just that latent force overflowing violently into our world. It's not a magic conversion, it's a release.
That idea of continuous flow, of containment, leads us right into the second dogma, which, I mean, this one is just plain weird, eternal rotation.
Yeah, the spin of electrons, the movement of atomic nuclei just keeps going for billions of years with no external power supply.
It's a true perpetual motion machine. You spin a top, it stops. An electron doesn't.
And what does physics call this?
An intrinsic property or a ground state.
And that's where, according to these sources, the thinking just stops. To say it just is basically admitting your framework can't explain the energy source.
Because something has to be powering it, right? Conservation of energy.
It has to be coming from somewhere. And the Katakamuna idea doesn't just explain it and completely flips our view of the particle.
How so?
They argue the particle's rotation is not the result of its existence, but the very process of it continuing to exist.
Wow. So the spinning is its existence.
The spinning is its mechanism for survival. And this connects directly back to K-View.
The infinite energy source. It must be constantly feeding it.
The sources have another great analogy here. They say a subatomic particle isn't an isolated marble. It's a faucet.
A faucet.
A faucet that is directly and permanently connected to the infinite battery of the latent world.
Okay, so the rotation is just the sign that the faucet is on. It's the indicator of the flow.
That's it. The reason it never stops is because the particle's very identity is that form of flow. The moment that energy from KU converts into observable motion in AMA, it takes the form of the ceaseless rotation.
So if the flow stopped?
The particle would cease to be. The spin is the signature of its connection to the infinite.
Let's move on to the third big quantum confusion, wave-particle duality.
Right. Light is a wave, and then you look at it, and suddenly it's a particle. It's a contradiction.
And quantum mechanics kind of papers over this with the term complementarity, which basically says you need both descriptions even if they don't make sense together.
The math works, but it's not intellectually satisfying, is it? But the biggest clue, the sources say, is already there in relativity.
The fact that time stops at the speed of light.
Yes, that single fact is huge. It's the physical universe giving us a peek into the non-physical. If time stops, the rules of our phenomenal world of AMA, they just dissolve.
So Katakamuna logic says that light's true home is...
is Kamimmu, the latent world, where time and distance don't exist in the first place. Light isn't a resident of our world. It's a visitor from another.
So it's not an object, really.
No, the sources define it as the interface. It's where the timeless vibration of the latent world touches the grid of our spatial world.
Okay, so with that framework, we can finally break down the duality, the wave part.
When light acts as a wave, or Nami, it's holding onto its true nature from Kamu. It's non-spatial, timeless. That's why quantum effects can seem to be instantaneous across the universe. Distance is irrelevant to a wave from Kamu.
But the moment we try to measure it, the moment it hits a detector.
Which is made of matter, of Mari.
Right. It collapses.
It gets fixed as a particle, or Nagi. The sources say it's imprisoned in the cage of the phenomenal world. It's forced to adopt a location in space and a moment in time.
So the duality isn't a property of light, it's a phase transition.
It's a phase transition. The sources have this perfect line. It's a cross-section viewed by us, the observer, as information moves from eternity, the latent world, to a moment in the phenomenal world.
It's the difference between the river and the glass of water you scoop out of it.
Beautifully put. You're seeing the source versus the sample.
That brings us to our final and maybe most meta dogma. It's about the very language of physics, mathematics.
And specifically, the problem of infinity.
Yeah, infinity. The thing that pops up in equations for, say, quantum electrodynamics or black holes, and Betty basically breaks the math.
And for decades, physics has treated these infinities as, well, theoretical failures. A Fourier equation is broken.
And they have a method for dealing with it, right? Renormalization.
We do. We should probably explain that for a second. Well, when you calculate certain properties of, say, an electron, the raw math spits out an infinite value, which is obviously not what we measure. Renormalization is a really clever mathematical technique where you basically add and subtract other infinities to cancel the first one out.
So you're sweeping the infinity under the rug.
You are. It works incredibly well for getting the right answer, but it feels like you're ignoring a huge clue. The Katakomuna idea suggests that infinity isn't an error at all.
It's leakage of information.
Exactly. It's the moment your limited, finite model of our world, of AMA, accidentally touches the infinite potential of the latent world, KMU.
So the infinity that physicists work so hard to erase might actually be the purest signal.
It might be the sign that your equation has actually hit on the truth.
The source.
It's a logical necessity. If KMU is an infinite energy source with no time or space, then any finite equation from AMA that touches that interface must produce infinity. If it produced a finite number, the equation would be wrong about the source.
Wow, that reframes everything. The problem isn't the universe. It's our assumption that our finite math should be able to contain it.
And the proposition is just transformative. If physics could just position that infinity as an energy constant from the latent world instead of erasing it, maybe all those paradoxes would just vanish.
It would turn a mathematical embarrassment into a foundational feature of reality.
Exactly. It restores a kind of integrity to it all.
Okay, let's try to synthesize all of this. We've used this Katakomuna logic to look past the how and really get at the why.
And we've seen that everything from, you know, the warmth of our planet, the light from stars, the bizarre spin of an electron,
and even the infinities in our best equations,
they're all being maintained by the constant action of Ka, that invisible pressure surging from the latent world.
The sources are pretty direct. They say modern science has built its house on these two really ambiguous foundations, EMC22 with no real mechanism, and eternal rotation with no visible energy source.
And the things physicists just dismiss, that's just how it is, answers, or the mathematical errors, those might be the very mechanisms they've stopped looking for.
So this logic, it's not about providing a physically testable experiment today, is it?
No, because Chi is undetectable by definition, but it acts as a hyperspeed line. It's about liberating us from just endless calculation, the how by giving us a unified, coherent foundation, the why.
It prioritizes logical consistency over immediate proof.
It does. And that brings us to the final, really provocative thought for you, the listener. This logic forces a choice on you.
Are you willing to stay comfortably inside that cage of common sense, which is built on these ambiguous ideas and mathematical tricks like renormalization? Or are you willing to accept that the hunt for the fundamental why is an intellectual quest?
A quest that demands we step outside the current fences of what's acceptable science, even if the tools we have to use, like the undetectable pressure of Ka, challenge the very limits of what we can prove today.